Grace, His mercy, His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on John the Baptist and questions related to him. And today I'd like to look at this question. What did John the Baptist experience and what could he expect to get in the world and from the world for his preaching of Christ before Jesus came the first time and as he came the first time? And what can we expect in the world and from the world as we preach Christ before he comes the second time? So what did John experience? And can we expect the same from the world? The good, the bad, and the ugly of it. Well, let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us about that for our strength in Christ and our strength in these days. First of all, what did John the Baptist actually experience in the world and from the world for his preaching of Christ? You know, when I look at that, I see seven things in the scriptures, which we'll go over briefly today, about what he experienced. Some were good, some were great, some were bad, some were ugly. And can you and I expect the same? And is your heart prepared for what may come? Well, let's take a look and see what he'd teach through his life, what God would teach us through John the Baptist. The first thing I see that John the Baptist experienced and got in the world and from the world for his preaching of Christ was a great thing, a good thing. Namely, a confident call of God on his life. He knew who he was and his identity so clear and so strong. It made him very bold and firm and powerful in his life. Let's take a look at that and read that in Scripture. Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" So, did John have a clear call on his life? Did he know who he was? And he knew who he was. He knew where he was from, why he was there, what he was supposed to do, and where he was going. And that actually made him super strong and courageous in his life when adversaries came against him to attack him, to accost him, and to aggressively interrogate him like those sent from the Pharisees and the scribes. They came to John and said, "Who are you? Let's have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John could stand up to them undaunted and with great might and declare, "I am." Say the words, "I am."
I am.
"I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Can you see how having a clear sense of your call from God, your identity, is going to change your strength as you go through the days of your life? They made John steady as Gibraltar and bold as a lion. Do you have, though, the same call on your life as did John? You know, the world and the devil wants you to be like the rest of the world. And they're like, "We don't know who we are, where we're going, where we're from, what we're here for. We don't know who we are." But you are different because you're a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
You know that you're called from God because Jesus says in John 15, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide." He also says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." I want to ask, are you a Christian today? Have you been called by God? Well, have you believed in Jesus Christ? If you've believed in Jesus Christ, then you are called by God, and you can be confident of it. Because if you can't come to God unless he draws you, and you have come to Christ, therefore he has drawn you, and if he's drawn you, he must have called you. Therefore, you can say confidently with John, when they ask you, "Who are you?" you say, "I am. I am called by God." And that's going to totally change the way you go through your days if you remember this. And the world, the devil, wants to make you forget who you are, like the rest of the world. And they don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what their purpose is. But you, as a Christian, can say, those with Christ are called and chosen and faithful. This is who I am. I am called by God. Therefore, I stand against you, steady as Gibraltar and bold as a lion. So that's the first thing John teaches us through his life. God teaches us, John tells you this, expect to be strong in the days ahead. As Peter said, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And this is why, that you might declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So say once again with me, I am.
I am.
I am the voice of the Lord. I am God's man, just as John the Baptist. And so that will give you strength. John says, expect in the days ahead, whatever may come, to be strong, for you are called by God. That's the first thing, a good one, right? Let's take a look at the second one that John teaches, because it's a little harder for us. John says to us next, he says, this is what you're to expect in the days ahead as you preach Christ before he comes again. Not much from the world. In fact, expect nothing from the world in return for your preaching of Christ to them. What did John get? Let's read that in the very next verse of Matthew 3. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. What kind of reward did he get from the world for his preaching of Christ to them? Answer is nothing. Expect that, says John. Now, that would seem to be very strange to you, wouldn't it? Because whose mission was ever greater than John the Baptist's? And whose mission is ever greater than yours? Yours is the same as his, which is to preach Christ. For Paul says, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him. What's your job? It's to tell the people to believe in the one who has come after John, Jesus Christ. But John says, look at my life. What could I expect from it? I got basically zero income for preaching Christ to them. I look at my garments, look at my clothing. Was I rich in my apparel? I wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about my waist. They gave me nothing for it. Look at my house and home. He was with the wild beasts in the wilderness. And did he have extravagant meals? What did he live on? Locusts and wild honey. He says, expect God to give you your daily bread, what you need to sustain you alone for the day. And if you have food and clothing, simply with those, be content, because you can't expect the world to care about giving you anything in reward for your great labors for Jesus Christ. As Paul said, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. For the Christian's ownership is in heaven and the world to come. In this world, expect nothing from the world for your preaching of Christ. That doesn't mean you don't have any money. They'll pay you for your job or your vocation, but for preaching Christ to them, expect zero from the world. No return, says John. Let your reward and your riches be with God and be content. That's a harder one for us, but a great one even so. That's number two. The third thing that John the Baptist teaches us about what to expect from the world and in the world for our preaching of Christ to them is this. And this is a great one. Expect great success in preaching Christ to them. For look at John the Baptist's life. Look at what he experienced. This is the very next line of Matthew 3, verse 5. then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So how successful was John, actually? When he preached, the entire city came out to hear. All of Jerusalem, all of Judea, and everybody in the surrounding region thronged to hear the words preached to them. Now, no, he didn't get anything from them in terms of earthly riches, but what did he receive as a reward for his labor? Many souls won to Jesus Christ. In fact, they came and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. In fact, so successful was John in his ministry that Herod was afraid of him. He wanted to seize this man and kill him, which came in the course of time, but for a time he couldn't touch John because of how many people were for him, because they all held him to be a prophet. So many were on John's side for his preaching that Herod was afraid, if I touch them, they'll come after me, and there'll be a great stir amongst the people. So John teaches us, expect to win. Say that, I expect to win.
I expect to win.
In the preaching of the success of the gospel. That is a word also so important to us today from John, because I think we have a mindset, maybe in these latter days, that we're kind of jaded in terms of evangelism. Do you feel that? Like, we think John was great because, you know, he's at the start. It's all fresh. Of course, he'll have success. But we're living in the days of the great falling away from the church, toward the end of time, and we can't expect much of a harvest like he because, yeah, we came late to the party. Do you feel like that? Well, John says, don't feel like that. Don't be de-energized, but re-energized in evangelism. Why could John be certain of great success? He would say, because Jesus sent me. I want to ask you, has Jesus sent you with your call to declare the marvelous deeds of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? If Jesus sends you, you will win and have success. What did he send us out for, a whitewashed mission of defeat or for triumphant victory? You know, we don't have a picture of great victory in our days. Get over it, basically. The apostles in their days did not have a great picture of that either. They also thought, as we do, what harvest? The Lord said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord to send laborers out into the harvest. They were still like, we don't see it. We don't see the harvest. And Jesus had to tell them in John 4, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are all wet already white for harvest. I chose you, he says, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So are you going to be re-energized by John today? He says to you, expect this. If God sends you, Jesus has appointed and chosen you and called you to preach, you are going to win. He didn't send you out to be defeated, but to win. Get back with the program. You know, I also kind of feel jaded sometimes in terms of evangelism when I look at the world, but I'm surprised by things that God does. A year or so ago, I was on my boat with a charter trip, and I had an evening sail with just two people. I got a woman with her friend, who was a guy, but they were just friends. And I thought it was just an average sail. I'm just going out and coming in, show them some dolphins. But she had actually chartered my boat, do you know, for a very spiritual purpose. Before I left the dock, she had set up something on the table below decks. Something with a candle and a letter and a bottle, and I was like, what's going on? We got out into the river, and at one point, just before sunset, she puts the note into a bottle and flings it into the river. And I was surprised. I was like, what are you doing? And she says, and confessed to me, as I asked her what that was about and what the note said, she said, I recently got a diagnosis from the doctor that I'm dying, and I only have a certain amount of time remaining. And she said, I threw a note in the bottle into, she says, I wrote it to the universe, because she didn't believe in God. I wrote a letter to the universe saying, who am I for my new start in my last days of my life? What should I do? What's my purpose? Did that sound like an opportunity to you, Pastor? I told this girl, I said, well, this is your good day, because I can still see the bottle, and I can tell you God's already sent your answer within 1 minute of casting the bottle into the river. I said, God loves you. He creates you. And he sent Jesus to be your Savior. And he wants you to come to him and be saved, and your purpose is to follow him. I said, you got your answer from the universe. And you know what? She was receptive to it. And we talked for the next hour of the sale, and she confessed that she'd been hurt when she was a child at church, actually by a Lutheran church. And she went through her hurts, and I shared with her my answers with encouragements as best as I could. She heard them, and she told me at one point, as we're heading in, she said, I wish you were my Lutheran pastor when I was a kid. And I said, well, you know, God has his timing for things, but come now. He loves you. He's calling you. You know, she was this close. I don't think she came at that moment, but she may have in the future. But the point is, there is a harvest, friends, that God, the fields are ripe for it. He says to you today, lift up your eyes. Get back on with the program. Stand on your feet. I have chosen you. I have appointed you. I have sent you to bear fruit. And if I sent you, you will have success. So John the Baptist says to you today, many are hurting in the world today, as in mine. They need Christ. Preach to them. The fields are ripe. And John says, expect to win when you go out. Get a triumphant spirit again. If he sent you, you will win because Jesus has sent you. So he says, expect that. Now, number four, John the Baptist teaches us also to expect in the world and from the world, and frankly, this is an uglier one, expect the world, many of them, not to believe you. Expect them to hate you. Expect them to persecute you. Expect to go through many trials, to have tribulations, perhaps to be thrown into prison, perhaps even killed, and have your blood shed. Are you prepared for such things? John the Baptist says, be ready. For the next line we read here says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham, etc. In other words, when he is preaching and having success, some were coming only in pretense to be baptized, to gain inroads, to sabotage him and his ministry, and he called them out. And in fact, we see that as he preached, it says, with many exhortations, he preached good news to the people, but Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he shut up John in prison. What did he get from the world? But hatred, scorn, fightings, kickback, battles, war, imprisonment, and in a short time later, as we read in the gospel today, death. For Herod, in Matthew 14, it says, Herod sent and had John beheaded in prison. I want to ask you, are you also prepared to expect such troubles from the world? You know, in America, we don't have that much of a trouble, as at least we were founded on Christian principles, our country, and we've been able, basically with the blessing of our government, at least up until now, to preach Jesus Christ, to be protected, to preach in peace and in freedom and enjoy the fruits of our labor in peace. But those days are changing quickly. You know, in other parts of the world, they don't experience what we experience. Our brothers, our sister who came here and spoke here on Wednesday night, who was a Muslim from Egypt, you heard her. And she came to America and she came to Jesus Christ, became a Christian. And she told us the moment she did, her husband hated her and attacked her, saying, "Jesus stole you from me." She became a Christian, that is. We asked, "Would you ever go back to Egypt?" She says, if she entered the country and they knew she was a Christian, she would be instantly branded an infidel and killed. That's the way it is and has been for 2,000 worlds and other years in other parts of the world. And are those the days coming to our country as well? Is that protection being removed? We know that in, you know, when I preached on the similar subject and I warned about a shadow creeping over our land in 2013, I looked back at an old sermon and I mentioned things like two girls were in Vancouver singing Merry Christmas and the store owner told them to stop singing and they were sad that they couldn't share the joy of Christmas. I shared about a Navy chaplain who was preaching a prayer in Jesus Christ and he was censored for speaking Jesus' name. What is that to us in 2022 but child's play? In 2020, we saw Christian pastors arrested for holding church, and churchgoers like yourselves accosted by the police for attending Easter services. Now, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, and they killed him on the cross, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But all this they'll do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. You know, we're strangers in this world, friends. We don't have allegiance to this world, but to God above and to the world to come. You are not of this world. They will hate you. When you speak Christ's name, they will shrink back from you. Their hearts will turn. They might even yell at you, storm off as well. And you know, those people that brought us, COVID-19, created it and gave it to us and did their mischief in 2020, etc. Things have not been going very well for them. Their plans are falling to pieces, right and left. But I warn you today, they are like a wounded beast. And they're not finished. And they may be yet coming for the Christian. That I know that's on their heart. So John the Baptist teaches us, therefore, stand up boldly in the endurance of your call. Expect great fruit and success, but be prepared as well for counterattacks from the enemy. Are you prepared to shed your blood for Christ, if need be, or to die for him? Well, what a great honor that would be. And John the Baptist teaches you, hey, just goes with the territory. It's all right. And why is it all right? Because number 5, John says, expect this also in the world. Namely, Jesus is going to help you through every time when you're downcast, when you're disheartened, when you're discouraged. He says, look at my life. I was in prison. A man of the wilderness and fresh air, I was thrown into a dank, dark, cold prison. And I started to doubt. I started to wonder, Christ, are you, Jesus, are you really the Christ? Jesus helped me. Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me. Go strengthen John. And he was strengthened. Jesus is going to help you through everything to confirm your faith, strengthen your spirit, and refresh your heart daily. Expect that, says John. And sixthly, expect him to honor you for your preaching of the gospel. The world might hate you, but you're going to get praise poured upon you like a waterfall from God on high, from Jesus Christ for your work. For what did you go out into the wilderness? Behold, Jesus said concerning John, a reed shaken by the wind? Why'd you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? No, those are people in kings' houses. What, did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one that Isaiah spoke of. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face to prepare the way before me. And truly I say to you, among those born of women, there's none greater than John. You know, do you expect praise from the Lord for your work, for your king? Expect it, says John, and it's great. And as Jesus says, those who are least in the kingdom are even greater than John. He's speaking about you. And seventh and finally, John the Baptist says, expect this in the world, from the Lord, that is, eternal blessings for your preaching of Christ here in this time and in this world. For John suffered here in this world for Christ, but not there. When he came to the prize, his life teaches you. Here, Christians, says John, you have a call from God as from a distant shore, a distant land, to fight here in this faraway country, but there you will be home with him. Here you have but no earthly riches or reward for your labor, but there you shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory, Isaiah 61. Here you can expect success in winning souls. There you can expect to have those souls as your friends forever in joyful laughter. Here you have abuse and suffer for the name of Christ, but there you will have eternal victory with everlasting love. Here they might kill you, there you rise. Here you are helped, there you have eternal life. Here you have honor from Christ with his words, there you sit with him on his throne in glory to reign. Here you do not see him, there you will see him in glory, and everlasting joy shall crown the heads of your saints. That's what you can expect, says John the Baptist, and he preaches all of these things come to you through our one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, in conclusion then, friends, today, endure with John to that day, that hour, that time, that country, that world, that city which is to come. Prepare your hearts to endure today, ready for the battle. Expect great success with tribulations, because John says you will win in the end and come to everlasting victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Are We to Expect Before Christ Comes? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.